Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is a New York Times best-selling author. Her books, The Middlesteins and St. Maisie, are just two of her critically acclaimed works. Jamie Attenberg is back, and in a big way, with the novel All Grown Up, which follows a single woman in New York City not searching for love, marriage, and family. Instead, she's searching for a place, a purpose, and a connection. Or you know what? Maybe she's not searching for anything. And that's what makes this character work, broken up into several short stories about her travels, her lives, her relationships. Jamie Attenberg currently lives in New Orleans, and she grew up right here in Buffalo Grove. And she returns tonight to The Download to be my guest at the big table. Jamie, great to see you. Thanks for being back.
It's nice to see you, too. And I think you did a really good job of describing the book.
Did I?
Yeah, right. I feel seen by you. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to tell you this, we were talking before you came on air, and I saved it. But I was in New York City not too long ago, and we stayed in the Lower East Side. Mm. And I was walking around there, and I was walking through all the tenements and stuff, and I found myself going, "This is where St. Maisie lived." I was like, "This is it." I was having this frame of connection around your work, and I thought that it was really cool to think about. And so your work has stuck with me for months. So that's good.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I was just back in New York, and I was walking on the Bowery, which looks so different, obviously, than how it used to look. But there's still some buildings, and I always kind of channel her when I'm there. Yeah, I still think about her a lot. So that's cool.
I felt there was some connection to her and to Andrea, who's the main character of the new book, in the way that St. Maisie was about the ideas of relationships with men and family is going to be to the side. And she had this way of, that she really just wanted to help people. Mm. I felt that similar vibe from Andrea in the way that in her life, she wasn't hung up on the things that people think you should be hung up on when you're in your 30s. And at the same time, she did, in a way, she wanted to help people, especially strangers.
Wow. So that's a generous reading of Andrea. Some people don't feel the same way about her at all. They see her as a little bit more self-involved than that. But thank you. That's really a nice reading on her. Yeah, I mean, there are, and even some people might see in the Middlesteins like an unconventional female character. I mean, these are the kinds of characters that I'm drawn to and kind of am always going to write a strong female character because I think it's important to have that out there in the world. And that's just who I'm interested in. But of course, they're all really deeply flawed characters,
right,
too. But I don't know. I don't think I would want to write a nice character, really, or a sweet character, because those people aren't very interesting to me. I saw I've just been in the throes of reviews and really in the eye of the storm. I've been on the road for the last 3 weeks since the book has come out. So I've seen all different kinds of interpretations of Andrea. Some people think she's really funny and some people really identify with her and some people don't like her, but still somehow have enjoyed the book. I saw one review where they called her mildly irritating. And I was like, that's like literally half the people I know I would call mildly irritating. And I would also call myself mildly irritating.
I thought she was real. I mean, in the way I don't know if there is such a thing as a sweet character. I mean, that's not a real thing. So for her to be funny and witty, but also at the same time broken in the way that she's approaching her life and be dull in some ways and find a way to like use to dull out the edges. I think that's just what we're all like.
Right. I mean, that my intention was to write an honest portrayal of a woman and a human being just in contemporary society. And that's kind of, you know, there's a lot of time shifting in the book where you see her at the age of 13, one of the chapters, and you see her at the age of 8, or you'll see her at 28 or 39, and so I wanted just to have this like really full 360 picture of who she was in it, and that includes the flaws.
Well, I want to talk about the flaws because I think it's interesting too, because this is it's mind bending in a way to think that this is now a genre, and there's been a lot to the single woman's adventures in New York City. It's become like a literary genre. You can find a category for this. But in this case, I mean, what I liked about it, and I kind of said in the beginning, was this idea of what she's searching for.
Right.
And I read some interviews with you just about this idea that when you think of things like Sex and the City and other places, at the end, there's always this, they're going to find something. They finally found the right guy. They finally found their family, and it all worked out. And in this case, and in this book with Andrea, that's not the end goal. That's not the end game of this book or her character.
Yeah, there's no way I was going to write a book where the main goal of the character was to find a husband.
But a lot of times they'll go, oh, I'm never going to get married. And at the end, some guy walks in.
They're
like,
sneaks in there.
Sneaks in. Oh, but Dave's different,
right? And I don't know. I just, I do feel like sometimes, you know, feminism gets a little sacrificed for the Hollywood ending in our culture. So I don't know. My intention with this book was just to step into the shoes of somebody who knew what she didn't want. which was to not get married or have a kids or have any of the trappings of normal adult life. I wanted to see what that actually felt like and learn from that and expand that character and see and also have that character exist for other people to see as well, because I just wasn't seeing it out there that much.
Yeah.
And I mean, here and there you do see it, but I just kind of wanted to like create it so that it just existed. I mean, that's why we make art, right, is so that we can see the things that we want to see that aren't there.
Jamie Attenberg is my guest in studio. She's the author of All Grown Up, which is a national bestseller as well. It's on its way. Congrats for all the great reviews. And she is in Chicago signing books, I think, at a
literally
alarming pace.
Yeah.
It's just like you just see she signed 30 books while she's been sitting here in the interview. No, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation here tonight on The Download. Jamie Attenberg, my guest at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Jamie Attenberg, the best-selling author. Her new novel is out, All Grown Up. And, you know, I really enjoyed the character Andrea, and that this book is about a woman in New York City who lives in Brooklyn. She has a great view of the Empire State Building, and she's an artist who draws the Empire State Building from her window until, you know, the views aren't there anymore.
Right.
But what I loved about it was this, the complexity of creating a character that doesn't want to do the same old things, doesn't want to necessarily find the right man and get married and do the whole thing. And even you know, in a certain way, doesn't want to play the game at work and do things like that. But it also is flawed in the way that she's an artist and she kind of gave up on it. And some things that she did want, she either didn't necessarily finish it or didn't necessarily follow her dreams. So there's some complexities there.
Yeah. You know, I was interested in these traditional milestones of life, of the getting married, having a baby, knowing what your career path is, buying a house, all those things, and thinking, what if none of those things apply to you? But you still have gotten older. And in fact, you might actually be an adult. And what does it mean to be an adult? And I actually think that you could, like, for example, get married, and that doesn't even mean that you're an adult. I was thinking a lot this year about it. I kind of didn't even really want to write this book at first, because I thought, oh, if I write it, then I actually have to figure out what it means to be, like, then I was going to be forced to look at my own life, even though my life is much different than her life. I still had to have an answer to the question of what it means to be a grown up. So I have an answer now. Do you want to know what it is?
I do. I was going to follow up with it.
This is just for me, and I don't know if it really applies to everybody. But what I decided after talking to lots of people about it and seeing their answers is it's about owning the decisions that you make, knowing why you're making the decisions you're making, and taking responsibility for those choices. So, for example, if you got married, but you didn't know why you were getting married, and you didn't feel responsible to the person you were getting married,
right.
I don't think that necessarily means you're a grown-up just because you've sort of ticked off that thing on the list. So, yeah, I was interested in, like, figuring out what it meant and watching the character grow to a certain point and find her own way towards adulthood in this book.
You've written, as you talked about, different characters in different books, and even with the last one, St. Maisie, was really historical fiction. We had a long combo about that. Is it harder for you as an author, as a writer, to write characters that are similar in age, in style, in contemporary? Just the idea of Andrea could be you. I'm not saying that she is, but the idea that she could be your peer. Is it harder to write characters that way?
No, I always thought of her as a neighbor of mine, right? And even with Maisie, it got to that place too, even though obviously didn't live in her era. Because you study them for so long, mm-hmm. and they just sort of feel like they live five blocks away from you. And you know the paths that they take, this, you know, how they walk on the street and where they're eating. And, you know, you think that you create that universe.
Yeah.
And this one, because I was coming off of writing Maisie, which was set in the 20s, this one was actually quite a relief to write because it's set now. And I didn't have to invent a way of talking. And I didn't have you know, and I didn't have to invent really in a way anything, although I invented quite a bit with this. But I'd lived in New York City for so long. I'd lived there for 18 years that I was like, oh, I know this landscape.
It's easy to be authentic.
I knew this landscape so well. And same thing when I wrote The Middlesteins, and I had set it in the suburbs of Chicago, even though it's a totally different family than mine, and I'd never met any of those people, I knew what it looked like. I knew where they would have gone. And it was so I think that's, if anything, that's my cheat, although it's not really a cheat at all. But I think using familiar landscapes to me, Maisie took me much longer to write because I had to really do a lot of research.
Yeah, so you had to stop and be like, okay, I need to figure out what the Bowery was at that point.
Yeah, how to get in the room with the characters. So I don't know, they all have different voices to me, though.
The character in All Grown Up, as we've talked about, Andrea, has a lot of flaws. And the flaws are not necessarily fatal, but they're mistakes that she makes, and she has a hard time connecting with people, and she's constantly having issues. There's one great scene where her sister-in-law, they're in a restaurant, and the character Andrea is more interested in what's happening at the table next, the drama that's happening next, the stranger. Mm. And instead of connecting with what the sister-in-law is trying to talk about her family or her issues and problems, when you're creating a character and the character has, and you say, okay, the character's going to have these flaws, do you go to the center and try to find the fatal one? Like the one that creates the character? I mean, do you go that deep? I mean, I know there's the relationship with the father. And I mean, do you go to say that's the center point? That's where all the rest of these sort of non-fatal flaws come from this one flaw.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that was like a really crucial scene with her father without giving anything away. There's just a, you know, a scene with her father from her childhood. And that scene that you mentioned with her sister-in-law, where she's, that's probably her lowest point in a way in the book, where she's just not. She's just being kind of a jerk, a little bit narcissistic. And we really, when I was in the editing process, we really struggled with that because I knew that she was being bad, but I didn't want the audience to think, like I wanted the audience to I struggle with it, right? I didn't just want it to be like.
It's so obvious, right?
Yeah. And so one of the things that we did when we were revising it is I say we because I'm talking about my editor here, but and she really pushed me to do this, is I allowed her sister-in-law, Greta, to yell at her more.
Right.
Which initially she didn't kind of like give her the business. And then I thought, oh, you know, the audience needs to know that we know.
It helps us formulate that the behavior is bad.
Yeah. But people are bad. I mean, we just are not perfect all the time. No. We screw up all the time sometimes we can't be there for people. I know perfectly lovely people who just never call their mothers ever. Right? Because they just don't want to talk to their mothers. Or people who have bad breakups and don't behave well in that breakup, but you still like them and you still know them and you know that they're not a bad person. Sometimes we just are bad.
Yeah.
And we're, or deal with
tragedy,
mean we're bad.
Tragedy in different ways that people expect you to, you know, like in this book, there's a lot about family and a sick family member. And it's like, and the way that the character reacts to that is one that a lot of people in the family are perplexed about how she won't go there.
Right, but there's nobody knows how to We're all trying to figure out how to be. And I think that in writing this book, even though again, like these are not my situations, I think with every book it helps me to learn how to be a little bit better and a little bit wiser and a little bit more grown up myself, because I, you know, put all my characters through their paces and ask questions that I like, sort of like, what would I do in this situation? And even when I have the character do something I would never do in that situation, it has forced me to engage with it. It's the way I learn too. I'm learning as much.
Do you ask the questions or write the character because you're interested in learning about it, or do you learn after the fact?
You know, I actually, a mix obviously, but with this book, I actually made a list of things that I wanted to have happen to her and issues that I wanted her to engage with, which is the closest thing to an outline like I'll ever have. But I was just sort of like, Andrea's best friend has a baby and she hates babies. Like, I'm going to do a chapter on that, you know, or Andrea's, you know, best friend gets married and she goes to the wedding, even though she hates weddings, like that, those kinds of things where I was thinking, just put her in the, you know, in the mud and let her claw her way out and see what happens. Yeah.
It's also, I mean, and in a way, by doing that exercise and letting the character claw out, you learn more about yourself as a writer.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was really fun to write this book, and really, I felt very playful with it. Yeah, it was very entertaining. And I kind of, you know, because there's all that time shifting and chapters in different years, it was, for me, I wanted it to be playful for the reader, where they just never knew what they were going to get. That every chapter they're like, all right, now we're in 1986 and now we're in 2015. And that's kind of a way of building suspense or giving the reader a ride.
Jamie Attenberg is the author of All Grown Up, national bestseller, just announced. She is in Chicago. She's on a tour. She spends her days now in New Orleans, although she grew up in Buffalo Grove right here in town. Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news, and we'll come back with more with author Jamie Attenberg here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Jamie Good to see you.
Hi.
Jamie Attenberg, a longtime author. She is a bestseller, a New York Times bestselling author for books like The Middlesteins and then St. Maisie. And her new book is now a national bestseller, All Grown Up, getting great reviews. She's in Chicago for the tour, but also, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a homecoming in a way. You're back in, you grew up in Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
I wish I had more time here, but I don't because usually I come here and my parents live in Buffalo Grove and they lived there for 50 years and they just retired to Florida.
Oh.
And I was so bummed because usually I come for a week and then I get to do events at my hometown library and I get to like schmooze a little bit and hang out with people. And today I only get to come really just for like the
just
one day.
This.
And I was like, I gotta like figure out, I need like a new set of parents here.
I was going to say, this is, well, Pete and I will be your parents. You can come visit us every time we come through. But this just becomes another nameless city for you.
No, I don't want that. I don't like it. I don't want it to be that way at all. And I was in Milwaukee yesterday and then we drove through and I was like, God, everything's so Midwestern. I love it so much. I do. And my accent changes a little bit when I start talking to a lot of Midwesterners. And yeah, it's nice to be here. I still think of it as home. So.
And it's interesting, you know, because the books, part of this book, All Grown Up, which is out now, it has a couple of aspects to Chicago. I mean, you talk about the character, Andrea, at one point or another living in Wicker Park.
I couldn't resist.
You couldn't resist.
I can't resist throwing Chicago in there when I can.
Why?
And St. Maisie, too. I had a little Chicago
right,
in there as
right.
well. I don't know. I just like it. I like to. It makes me feel safe to write about Chicago. Yeah.
Just because it's something you can relate to?
It gives me pleasure to think about Chicago. So it's my own little Easter egg. I have a couple of Easter eggs. Like I always write about food because that makes me happy. I like to write about sex because it entertains me. And I like to put, you know, at least one Chicago chapter in a book. Just, I don't know, I just like thinking about Chicago.
The character is complex in that way. I mean, with her relationship to sex, her relationship to her relationships, there seems to be less, like we've talked about at the beginning, this idea of this Hollywood ending. But there seems to be less desire for them to work out. You know, it doesn't seem like she's ever in a spot where, and the only reason I think about it is I'm watching the show Love.
Yeah,
on Netflix right now,
it,
right?
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy, the main character, that's all he wants. He's just like kind of like bumbling through it and he loves it. But I think of Andrea, it's just like these two things that are happening at the same time, reading this and watching that show. And I'm like, it almost like she feels like it's never going to work out or that at a certain point, like, no, this will blow up. If I have sex with this guy, it's going to blow up.
Yeah. I mean, she's just not capable. I mean, that's a great thing that she knows about herself, that she's not capable of being the person that should be in a relationship.
But does she undermine herself by, or does anyone who has that who feels like they know themselves so well, do they undermine themselves for being happy in any form?
I don't know. I think she's not. I just don't think she's really that interested in it. Like whatever it is that she could get out of a relationship, like the trade-off is not enough for her. I mean, she just, yeah, she's not into it, man. She's just not that into it.
Well, there's some great through lines when you talk about the relationship with your family. You know, with Andrea's family. You talk about her mom, her brother, her sister-in-law. But there's something interesting about this idea that as a single woman, she is not attached. Like, she doesn't have the care of the world. She doesn't worry about babies. She doesn't worry about family. She's got it great. But there's this element in here in which everybody needs somebody to lean on. And in this case, Andrea sometimes forgets that. And this idea of almost, you know, single doesn't necessarily mean unattached. There are still responsibilities.
That's
to,
right.
You know what I mean?
That's
this
a lesson.
Idea, yeah.
That's definitely like a lesson of the book, I think.
Why go there? I mean, talk about that. Talk about why is that the lesson of the book?
Because she does need other people. She needs humanity and she needs to connect with people. And she does know that. But sometimes she shuts herself down and she kind of has to be reminded of it throughout the book. And to me, like, that's the ending of the book, which of course we will not share. But like, that's her sort of getting her act together and figuring that part out about herself. It's also like, I think that when you live sometimes in an urban existence, it's really easy to just get distracted by everything that's going on around you. And your friends can become your family also, which I think is really important. Yeah. And sometimes you don't even want to deal with your real family. And you're not obligated to, let me just say that. But for Andrea, it was, I think it's something that she does want. But she, you know, part of the book is that her family, some of her family members moved to another part, to move to New Hampshire. And so she just sort of shuts them out. And they're kind of like, no, you're not. Just because we're not here doesn't mean that you can't,
right,
that you can forget about us.
And there's this part of the book where you reveal that the character, she talks to her brother and her sister-in-law every Sunday. But that's not connection. It's almost like it's an obligation. It's a routine. And even in that, she has removed herself from it.
Yeah, I think people just often do that, right? Like they were like, well, I just make my one phone call a week.
I've done my duty.
I've nodded. I've done my dishes while I'm on the phone and I'm talking to my mother or whatever it is. I wanted her to have something more sincere than that, like to kind of work through that. Like that was her, I don't know, I was looking for her to have a more sincere human connection with these people, but she sort of had to, you know, I had to put her through the paces of this book to get there.
The other part, too, that I really liked, and again, I think it's a through line in your work, is the attraction and, I guess, interest in strangers.
Hmm.
You know, for all of the disconnect and all of the removing herself, this Andrea, the character, there still is this stop and talk to strangers.
Oh, my God.
There
this is so interesting because no one has ever said this to
me
before.
Am I wrong? I mean, it feels like that, yeah, whether it's the actor who's sitting on the steps or it's another character. I mean, there just seems to be this desire by this character to almost act differently when she's interacting with people she doesn't know.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting that I don't even know if I have an answer to it. I feel... Because you're probably the first person who's ever brought that up. And so now I have to think about it for a second. I mean, that's not...
Well, I mean,
not,
that was the bulk of St. Maisie, right?
Right, was that she was... she would help all the homeless.
Right.
Yeah, she would help all the strangers. And yeah, in this book, she is interested in other people. I think I would say that it's like an urban thing where you're surrounded by strangers. And so you can have like that chance of like an intimate connection and then sort of move along. My first book was called Instant Love, actually, too.
It's romantic for a moment.
Romantic for a moment, yeah. But also like... I don't know that we're, I do think that it's like we're, especially when I think about our political climate, where I've had conversations with people where they say, well, I'm going to be fine, right? And I'm like, yeah, me too. Like, I'm a middle class, middle-aged white lady. Like, of course I'm going to be fine. But what about everybody else? So it's maybe, about an idea of connecting with everybody and being responsible for your neighbor. I do think about that a lot, about being responsible for your neighbor.
Obviously it comes from your brain and this concept that you do are looking for connection. And there is some fascination with the passing stranger in the night. Even in the case of Andrea, I picked up that, you know, a lot of her short-term romances were started with the way she met somebody, the guy at the wedding, you know, or things like that. That were like, it starts in this interesting way and then it kind of peters out.
I guess so. I mean, she has, you know, there's somebody who she, you know, has the longest relationship with, is somebody that she went to art school with, of course, and has known him for 15 years or something like that. You know, she can get things, something out of it, but also like it's easy to just shut it down too. It's both of those things.
All right, I'm done psychoanalyzing the characters.
I know,
Jamie
I'm so
Attenberg
interested.
It's my guest in the book, All Grown Up. You know, you have been prolific in the way that you have written, it was 3 books in 5 years or something like that?
Yeah.
And you're constantly coming up. It's great to be able to see this book come across my desk and be like, oh, great, Jamie's back. What's the plan? I mean, are you the kind of writer that just keeps churning? I mean, it's like every month you got a new idea and you're...
I don't know. I'm going to take time off. I'm going to take a year off, I think, from writing fiction. That's my next plan, which I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth. But actually, like last year, like I wrote this book. I really started writing this book in fall of 2015 and I finished it, like all the edits, everything done in June of 2016.
Okay.
So like a 9-month period.
Is that a normal time for a writer?
I don't know. I think it's fast, but I mean, it depends on what kind of book you're writing, I guess, but it's also a short book. That's a little bit of a cheat too, but I feel like I've said a lot and I don't know what else I have to say at this exact moment in terms of my fiction. I tried to write.
I thought you meant this interview. I thought that's how you were ending I gotta go.
No, I mean out in the like creatively in the world. Right. Like I feel like especially the Middlesteins and St. Maisie and All Grown Up, they are connected for sure. Like the themes of empathy and compassion and like connecting with people. I agree with that. Connecting with people, helping people. And so I feel like I've put out so much right now, and when I started to write again last fall, I was like, I said a lot. Like I might be done for a minute. So I'm going to see what's going to happen next. But I have another book deal. So I'm definitely going to write another book. And I have a long life ahead of me to do these things. So
are you the kind of artist, though, who fears not having that project that's up next? I mean, the concept, you say it with a little bit of you feel free in a way that you're like, oh, God, I don't have a book coming. I'm going to take some time off. But are you the kind of artist, too, who's like, you know, and I kind of want to. I want to make sure something's in front of me.
It's honestly, I'm going to answer your question in a second, but I want to say that this is, it's delightful to be here, of course, but it is, I've been on tour for like 5 freaking years. So I'm tired. I'm tired of talking about myself. I'm tired of like writing essays to promote my book. I'm tired of like taking airplanes. I'm tired of, you know, all the things that go along with it. Like, it's an honor that I get to do it, but also it's physically exhausting and I miss my dog. So I, so like, that's really what it is. I think it's just that I've really, once you write a book, there's things that are associated with it that were never associated with early on in my career. Like there's just like, oh, if I write this, then I have to talk about this, which I didn't. That's why I kind of didn't even really want to write this book, because I was like, oh, if I write it like a single girl in the city book, then I have to talk about being single, even though it's like this book totally breaks the single girl in the city, like the traditional genre, and reinvents it, I think, or that's what I was trying to do.
But so, that's why people want to talk to you about it, because I do think that there is some interest in developing a another kind of character that lives in New York, that's single, that lives life, that's not.
Yeah, no, it's great. I want to talk about it. Right, I do. Right, I want to talk about it. I wrote it so that it could exist. But for sure, I was like, ooh, if you do this, then you're going to have to talk, you know, you're going to have to talk about it. So I know all the things. It's very, you know, it's complicated for me. It's not just about making the art anymore. It's the difference between being a writer, lowercase w, and an author, capital A. But to answer your question, really, which is, do you have to have something to do? I do have to have something to do. I will have something to do. It just won't be writing a book.
It won't be signing copies and talking to us. So the short answer is, we'll see you in a year. You'll be.
No, I'm tired. I want to go and do daiquiris in New Orleans.
All right. The book is called All Grown Up. The author is Jamie Attenberg. It's a national bestseller. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She is in Chicago, but hopefully we'll get home and be able to hang out with her dog soon enough. Yeah. Jamie, great to see you. Thanks for coming on.